Before the break, we started briefly to look at the fourth responsibility of a wife, which is to be the manager of the home. We have read through Proverbs 31 from verses 10 through 31. This passage is a description of the ideal wife and her skills in managing her home. One of those things that as we're going to look at this is, you see, what people don't always realize is that the Bible contains every detail of our life. The problem is we just don't see it. So, I mean, look at what we're going to go through this morning and see. Who would have thought of this? If this was just a man thinking, I don't think he could have conceived the details of what we're going to see this morning. So God has everything. There's nothing left but for us to be attentive and be obedient. We're really not going to exegete this passage, but we will glean some of the responsibilities of the ideal wife from this passage. One of the foremost things that we need to understand about this ideal wife is that she is a woman that has a total confidence of her husband. Often, we hear some women complain that their husbands do not trust them with anything. But they do not reflect to see if they can understand why that is the case. This passage describes several reasons that this woman has won the confidence or the total confidence of her husband. Her qualities include spiritual as well as physical attributes. We know that the ideal wife described here is first a spiritual woman for at least four reasons. There are four reasons that we know that she is, first of all, a spiritual woman. The first one, she is careful in her speech and she applies wisdom. She is careful in her speech and she applies wisdom. She guides her speech and ensures that it will be instructive to those she speaks to. In other words, she's not the type that opens her mouth all the time. She is very calculating and thoughtful in what she says. Should we say it another way? She thinks before she speaks. In effect, she is that woman with few words. But when she does speak, she thinks carefully before doing so. She is not the gossiping type. She does not have the time to be a gossip. So for that, we know she is a spiritual woman. Secondly, she is compassionate. She is generous and considerate of others. Now, we see this on how she treats even her own servants, the maids that she has. She reaches out to help the poor and the needy. She is not concerned only of herself and her family, but she's concerned about others. The third reason we know she's spiritual is because she is a woman of honor and inner strength. She's a woman of honor and inner strength. Because of her inner strength and stability, she's prepared to face the future. We are told that she will laugh at the future. The only way a person can be untouched by what the future holds is if his or her spiritual life is normal. This woman is full of inner strength, and that is why she's not afraid of the future. The fourth reason we say she's a spiritual woman is because she brings honor and respect to the husband and her family. This is what we should expect of every spiritually matured lady. And that is why I say she is first of all a spiritual lady. We have of course mentioned a few of the qualities that indicate that she is a spiritual lady. Let us mention some of her physical qualities. First, she is a very careful woman in the selection of her wardrobe. Very careful in the selection of her wardrobe. Secondly, she is very industrious. This means that she does not know what it means to be idle or lazy. She is the woman that can never get bored because she is always busy. Many women who are bored are those who are lazy. This woman knows that there are so much to do that it is impossible for her to be lazy. Thirdly, she is not a wasteful individual. Fourth, she is a very resourceful individual. She knows how to invest whatever savings she has. In other words, whatever money that a husband trusts in her care, she finds a way to stretch it to meet the need of her family. Fifth, she's a woman with many skills. She knows how to sew and how to knit. She's not afraid to work with her hands. Now, I have described, to begin with, her spiritual, physical, but please note that so far in describing this great ideal lady and wife, nothing has been said of how she looks. You read it with me, and if you go home, go again and read it and find if you can find any hint of how she looks. Because the Bible knows, or God knows, that what constitutes the true person is not how he or she looks, but what is in the inside coming out. So we have described briefly the qualities of this woman, but at the same time, we should note her blessings because of these qualities. There are blessings associated with these qualities. Now, there are at least three blessings that come to her, or at least to such a woman. Three blessings. First of all, she has the full confidence of her husband. That's a blessing. It is a blessing for a woman when her husband can have full confidence in her. It is very refreshing to the woman to know that her husband is solidly behind her all the time, whether in the issue of children or anything. She knows the husband stands behind her 100%, say to say. Secondly, she is respected by her children. See, it is sad to see that there are many women today struggling to maintain good relationship with their children when they get older. The truth is that the ideal woman will have a great rapport with her children because they have watched her consistency of life, and so they will grow to respect her. She may have been tough on them when they were growing up, but in the end, if her children turn out to be the great individuals that they ought to be, they will in turn adore their mother. It is a great blessing to a woman to see her children respect her when they leave home. I do not know, in my mind, or at least in my way of thinking, I can imagine any man or woman who is of sound mind that received proper training, proper discipline from parents, that do not come back and appreciate them. And I, you know, this is one of those mistakes many parents make. You are not a friend to your child. Now, I know that's hard to say. What am I? A mother or a father? You're not a friend. Now, you may be a friend later on in life, but at the time that you're raising that child, it is not a question of what he wants or she wants. It's a question of what is the right thing to do. Whatever it is, you lay it on her. Stand your ground. She will hate you, curse you out, say some nasty things in her mind about you. Don't worry about it. She just doesn't know, or he doesn't know. When he knows better, he can look back and thank the mother or the father. Those who were able to have parents who really laid it on them, I don't know if any of them that's maladjusted. You know, all this nonsense and rubbish that you hear in the air, that this child was abusing that was the reason he or she turned out what it is. That's just one of the devil's lies. people whose parents thoroughly missed what are called tough discipline and love will always, if they responded now, I'm not saying, I mean, a mother or a father can apply discipline and love, but the child didn't respond. If the child responded, he or she will turn back and adore the parents. Now, I don't know about some of you. Some of us grew up stubborn. And all I remember personally, my father spanked me just once in my lifetime. As far as I can remember, just once. And that was enough for me. And it was something that I still remember to today. But it hasn't changed one bit. In fact, if anything, the more I look through my life in every way, the more I'm appreciative of him. Why? Well, he didn't fool around and say, oh, son, it's okay, don't worry about this and that. No, he laid it on me. And so my point is this. When a woman does the right thing, you don't give allowances to your child. It is not a question of her decision. There are many things you deal with her. Her decision is his or her decision is unimportant. What's important is a value system based on truth that you impose. When she or he is grown up, they will turn out to respect you. So this is the thing that we see here about this ideal wife and mother. Thirdly, her husband showers her with praises. Many men fail in this respect, but perhaps this could be because there is nothing to praise their wives for. Although, I find it difficult to believe that there is nothing to praise your wife for. There has to be something about her that you can praise her and thank God for. A man should praise her wife for the great things she does and for the little things she does. But greater praise is reserved for that woman that meets the qualities that are described here in Proverbs 31. She is definitely a woman who is blessed with inner peace and joy. Now that we have examined the qualities and blessings of this ideal woman, let us now go back to the reason we examine this passage, which is to expound on the responsibility of a wife in managing her home. From the description of the ideal woman, there are at least four responsibilities that we see a wife must carry out regarding her home. Now, I will suspect, from what I'm going to emphasize later on, I will suspect that every woman should take note and go back and carefully absorb it, because there is something else that you have to do as part of your responsibility. We will come to it. But you need to understand these things, because every woman ought to teach these things to every daughter and every son, of course, to an extent. Well, first of all, it is her responsibility to take care of the family's clothing and to furnish the house. Now, this means that she should see to it that her family has the proper clothing. Now, of course, we should be careful in our understanding of this responsibility. We are not saying that she should provide the means to do so, but if the husband provides the money, it is up to her to carefully select the family wardrobe within the constraint of the family finance or budget, so to say. The wife must be sure that these clothes are clean at all times. Of course, modern conveniences have reduced the burden on the wife, but it's still her responsibility. Now, this does not mean that the husband should not help her out under certain conditions, but the primary responsibility is to the wife. This type of thing is where both, in my mind, both especially where both husbands and wives, they should apply common sense in dealing with this kind of thing. If a wife walks outside the home, the husband must be considerate and ensure that the wife is not overburdened or overwhelmed with chores. Now, having said this, it is still important that a woman must maintain a clean home or a clean house. There is absolutely no reason for her not to have a clean house. So that's the first thing in managing her home. Secondly, It is the responsibility of the wife to ensure that her family has a proper diet. In other words, she is the nutritionist of the family, the dietitian of the family. This means that it's up to her to be sure that every member of the family is provided a balanced diet. A balanced diet does not necessarily require great wealth. It requires careful planning on the part of the wife. Many times, wives do not take this responsibility very seriously. But no doubt that the ideal woman wakes up very early to provide food for her family. This suggests that there is no reason for a woman not to take care of the breakfast of the family. This again should be a matter of common sense, but a woman is failing in her responsibility towards her husband and towards her family if she fails to put food on the table at the appropriate time. Now, I do not mean that she's responsible for getting it as such, although she could under agricultural economy, which is what this is based. But instead, we're speaking really about cooking and preparing the food. So she is the dietitian. The third thing that she has to do as part of home management that she's supposed to be in charge of is this. She is responsible to ensure that her family is not wasteful, that the family is not wasteful. This she does by being a careful manager of the things in the home. Many families are very wasteful. They buy things that they do not need. It is the responsibility of the wife to ensure that this does not happen. You see, many times we as Christians do not always remember that we are custodians of God's gift to us. In other words, if God has given you a lot of wealth, you are a custodian. It is not yours, because he can remove it any day he chooses. He has given it to you to be an administrator, to use it for his own purpose. And so you should not be wasteful with what he has given you. Because, of course, we are also going to give account of how we use whatever he has given us. Of course, we mentioned in one of our studies the importance of not being wasteful regarding food. But you see, many waste food, especially in this country. I suppose that because God has blessed people of this country, they do not recognize that it is irresponsible, if not sinful, to waste food. Now, I know you can all want to say all kinds of things about it. The food that is wasted in this country, I'm almost sure we feed half of the starving part of the world. I'm not saying that it's your responsibility to do so. All I'm just saying is that the believer must be careful in not wasting things. A woman should know how to make something out of leftovers and things like that, because all it takes is a little bit of imagination on her part. And that is part of being a good wife. The fourth thing that this passage tells us about this her responsibility in terms of home management is that it is the wife's responsibility to ensure that her home is not a home of lazy individuals. Her home is not the home of lazy individuals. In other words, she should never permit laziness in her house. She does this by being an example herself. You see, sometimes I've been to places, I've seen, women, they are doing something and their daughters are sitting in the couch watching TV and so forth. And I think it's a very shameful thing. Now, in other words, it is sad to see that a woman has grown up children who do nothing but watch her do most of the chores. It seems to me that a woman should engage her children in cooking so that they will learn how to cook and do other chores. In other words, what am I saying? It is unacceptable for a lady to be married without knowing how to cook if she has a mother. Now, you can understand it. They always make joke about a wife being born in the breakfast after wedding and all this. Those things should never exist. It should never exist, because if it exists, it is a poor commentary on the mother. Now, I suppose that many women think that they are doing great service to their daughters in particular by not engaging them in learning how to cook and do other things. But the truth is that that is a great disservice to them. My point is that an active woman should never have lazy children. She's a teacher to her children in many ways. Learning to cook is one of them, and doing other kinds of chores. So she has the responsibility of teaching her children in many, many ways. Well, we have emphasized the responsibilities of the ideal wife. Now, I'm going to kind of shock you a little bit here. How many of you mothers who are now grandparents or whatever, when your children were getting married, did you tell them this? Did you lay all this and I said? Because I didn't say actually what we got from the Bible. Well, if you didn't, I know why, and we're going to talk about it. Well, we have emphasized then the responsibility of ideal wives, but let us know that the ideal wife is supposed to be a teacher, not only to her own children, but other young wives. This is in accordance to what the Apostle Paul indicates in Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Verses 3 through 5. Titus chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. This has to do with the other function of a woman. As we go through this, I hope that every believing lady here is seeing how important she is to the home. She is very, very important to every home. And so God did not make mistake about it, and that is why he is telling her every detail of what she ought to know, because of how important she is. So it reads, likewise, Titus 2 verse 3 says, likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live. Well, to begin with, though, this is something told a pastor to teach the women, just as what we're doing now. Not to be slanderous or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Look at verse 4. Then they can train the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God. Now, the word train here is a Greek word, sophronizo. S-O-P-H-R-O-N-I-Z-O. That's the word translated train here, sophronizo. Sophronizo means to bring one to his senses. That's what the word means here. That's one word. To bring one to his senses. It also means to hold one to his duty. So sometimes it then means to admonish or to instruct. So older believing wives are supposed to help teach younger wives how to love or be fond of their husbands and their children. Did you see why I said, you know, don't be, you know, for those who are single, don't be concerned with this romantic love, because he said, you are to be taught. A woman is to be taught. How? It doesn't come automatic, so to say. So they are supposed to receive instruction, how to recognize, and how to do so. And so this is the thing that we are supposed to understand as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, that every older wife has a responsibility to pass on some information to younger wives to help them in their duties. This responsibility, of course, requires that the older wives know what it is to love their own husbands and children. So you see what the apostle, the Holy Spirit, the way it is, he said, likewise, you teach them first, then they can do this. So that's what we're saying. You cannot tell somebody something you do not know. In other words, you can't understand that love for one's family is something taught unless we see it the way we are seeing it. Most people think, well, it's something that comes natural to us. Well, but the truth of the matter is, it is easy then for us to understand why the Bible should say that one has to be taught, a wife has to be taught how to love the husband and the children. This is because, if you recall, I've been trying to emphasize from this pulpit to change the thinking about love, that love means taught action. In other words, you can love anyone you want all you want. If your actions do not reflect them, you don't love them. So that is why a person has to be taught what kind of actions you have to take in order to prove to your husband that you love him. That's what we're looking at here. So what I'm saying then is, love, the one that we're looking at here, does not come automatically. Otherwise, the Holy Spirit will not command this to be taught by Pastor Titus. So older wives who have not learned to love cannot teach others. Many times older women offer terrible advice to young women concerning how to live with their husband based on their own distorted experiences instead of the truth. Of course, the fault is that they perhaps have not themselves been taught what it means to love and to submit to their husband. Hence, they can only teach what they know, which is not much, or sometimes contrary to the truth. But we have explained the responsibilities of wives. So a woman who practices these things must then be in a position to teach other women. Now, in addition to teaching the younger wives how to love their husbands and children, the Holy Spirit indicates at least four more other things that the older women ought to teach. First of all, they have to teach younger wives how to be self-controlled and pure. The word self-control here is a Greek word that means being of sound mind. Being of sound mind. Also, it means really, actually the word is sophrono or sophron. S-O-P-H-R-O-N. That's the word translated here, self-control. Sophron. It means to be, it means to be of sound mind and to curb one's desires or one's impulses, to curb it. Hence, it means self-control. Now, there are many impulses that come to a wife in marriage. She must learn how to control them. For example, she may have the urge to want every good dress or a jewelry she sees or other material possessions, but she must learn how to resist those urges. The word pure there comes from a Greek word that we often translate holy. The point being that a believing wife must be unique both in her manner of life as well as in her sexual purity. So, the other thing that the Holy Spirit mentions here is that the older wives must teach younger wives to keep busy working in their homes. So there are many times, or at least many things a woman can do at home, but sometimes she needs the advice, the suggestion of the older women to do so. The third thing that the older woman must do here is that young wives are to be taught how to be kind. This really means that they are to be taught how to be pleasant and useful to others as well as to themselves. This really means that the word kind is from a Greek word agathos. A-G-A-T-O-S. Most times we take the word, it means good, but it means more than that. And that's why they translated it kind here. It could mean pleasant or useful. So younger wives must be taught how to be pleasant around other people. It doesn't come naturally. These are things that have to be taught. Finally, guess what? She has to be taught how to submit to her husband. Well, you know, a woman who doesn't submit to her husband, how can you tell your daughter how to submit to the husband? You can't, because you don't know what it is. So that's what I'm talking about here. So there are two conditions then, in my mind, that are essential for older wives to be able to fulfill this responsibility of teaching other younger wives. First of all, this requires an interaction between younger wives and older wives. In other words, they must interact with each other, because only that interaction, that association, will provide the avenue for the teaching. Secondly, any teaching requires humility on the part of the person taught. This means that younger women or wives cannot afford to be arrogant and assume that they know it all. See, being married does not automatically translate a young girl to a full-grown wife in the sense that we have considered in our studies. So a younger wife must be willing to learn and accept corrections from the older wives. In other words, I think it is often sickening when you hear rivalries between daughter-in-laws and their mother-in-laws. I think there's something wrong with that. They should have a phenomenal relationship, because the younger wife should be getting instruction from her as well as from the mother. Similarly, though, older wives themselves must not be arrogant in their instruction. They should also not assume that they know everything. They should not, in other words, they should not say or do things to belittle the ones that they are supposed to teach. So you see, these are responsibilities that are involved in fulfilling this function. So both those who teach and those taught must remember that the goal is so that unbelievers would not have the opportunity to malign the word of God. In effect, a woman's attitude towards her marriage is a great testimony to the unbelieving world around her. It is important that no one should ever belittle the role of a woman as a homemaker, for this is an important aspect of the stability of the society. It is not only in the Old Testament that we have this role specified, but the Apostle Paul constantly makes reference to this role, as we read, for example, in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 14. First Timothy 5 verse 14
says, "So I counsel younger widows to marry, to have children." Look at the next thing. "To manage their homes and to give the enemy no opportunity for slander." Now the expression "to manage their homes" here comes from a compound Greek word here, long word, oikodespoteo. Oikodespoteo is spelled OIKOSDESPOTEO. Oikodespoteo. It means to rule a household or manage family affairs. Now, the ruling of household for the wife includes definitely the rearing of children. Now, we see today the result of making light this responsibility. Many children grow up today without sound guidance from home. And as a result, we have now a society of ill-adjusted children. Now, I do not know of anything in the family that is as important as training the children. So, if a wife does not fulfill this responsibility, and the husband, of course, too, you can be sure that the society will pay for it. Hence, no believer should ever make light the importance of a wife being a homemaker. Of course, staying home does not necessarily amount to being a good mother. The mother must have the truth to pass on to the children. In any case, we should recognize What an important role that a wife has in a marriage. So we have considered the responsibilities of the husband and that of the wife in marriage. For marriage to succeed, each one must understand his or her own responsibilities and carry them out. Now, it is one thing to know them, but you must carry them out. If anyone neglects any of his or her responsibility, then it is the beginning of what I call a crack in the marriage. And with the passing years, this crack will get larger and larger, and so will the misery suffered by both of them. So it is important that every husband take his responsibility very seriously. Likewise, every wife must pay close attention to her own responsibilities. God has given us the instructions needed to make marriages succeed. But we must remember that the enemy is around looking to destroy the marriage of believers. That means the devil will want to highlight certain things about your spouse in order to make you irritated, to complain and so forth. But that is not your responsibility. Before you start complaining about what he or she is not doing, you should first ask yourself, have I done what I'm supposed to do? So then, let me end by saying that we have studied this whole issue. We have now come to the end of our study that we have been dealing with this past 6 weeks, dealing with marriage. We have covered the definition, the institution. We've answered the question, is marriage for everyone? We have given reasons to marry. We have looked at how a person prepares for marriage. We answered the question about dating, how it relates to the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. We talked about betrayal. We talked about the perimeter of marriage, selection of mates, the appropriate form of marriage ceremonies, the responsibilities of both husband and wife. So, everything that we have considered, especially last week and this week, is something that no human being can truly fulfill apart from the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So then, what am I saying? I'm saying this. To be a good husband or to be a good wife requires two things. Instruction, knowing the truth, learning the word of God constantly, and secondly, being always filled with the Holy Spirit. No one can be a good husband, no one can be a good wife, unless he understands or she understands these responsibilities that we have given. But then to carry them out requires the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So what we have done is we have examined marriage, as we can say, correctly that I touched almost every verse that has anything to do with marriage principles. That's nothing I left unturned. And so when we end this subject, from now on, there should be no reason why any believer who has listened to this should not have a ball in their marriage. God has designed it so that it will be an enjoyable experience. So if you're not having the enjoyable experience, take a look at the responsibilities and see how you fit or how your spouse fits. In any case, it's up to you. The ball is in your corner. What you do with it is up to you. Let's pray. As we have finished our study this morning, there may be somebody here who has not personally trusted Christ. So what we have studied is really not the issue. The issue for you is your life with Christ. The issue for you is you have eternal life. If you were to die now, will you go to heaven? That is more important question that you must answer first, because that deals with eternity. And so you may say, well, I have been going to church. My parents bring me to church. My husband drags me in. My wife drags me in. No. The question is, have you personally, on your own, trusted that Christ died for you on the cross? Because the Bible says, he who knew no sin was made sin, that we may be made the righteousness of God in him. Christ paid it all, and you can have eternal life. The Bible says, these are written that you may believe that Christ is the Son of God, believing you will have life through his name. The alternative, he who rejects him is condemned already because he has not believed in the only begotten Son of God. And so it's up to you now. If you've never trusted him, you can tell God the Father that you're trusting his Son Jesus Christ as the one who died and settled forever the consequences of sin, the penalty of sin, that you're trusting him for your eternal salvation. When you do so, the Bible says, as many as receive him, has he given them the right, the power to become the sons of God, even those who have trusted in his name. So if you have not trusted him, you can do so now. And if you do so, God's eternal life and righteousness will belong to you. Father, we are thankful for the study of this word. We know that you love us so much that you have never left anything to chances. You've given us the complete detail, instructions as to how marriage is supposed to function among believers. May we then be obedient to them so that in the end, we will bring glory, honor to our Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen. We're ready for the meeting?